Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Best of Tea with Twiggy. This week, we've put together the gorgeous Mylene Klass and the lovely Sarah Beeny, two wonderful TV presenters, among many other things that they do. And I hope you enjoy listening to it. If you want to listen to the complete episodes of both of these lovely ladies, then you just scroll down in your podcast list under Tea with Twiggy and you'll find the complete episodes of Mylene Klass and Sarah Beeny. So enjoy. Bye. Listen, I have to say your version of the potato song with Matt Lucas is so divine. Aww. It's so divine.
It was nice to do.
Apparently it's raised so much money.
Over a million.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's done an incredible job to feed all the NHS staff. It's incredible what he's done.
Unbelievable.
And the children, it's one of those songs that just gets stuck in your ears. They have been singing it non-stop. So
well done you. And I know all the money's going to the NHS, yeah?
Yeah, to feed the NHS, all the workers, you know, the things that you just don't even think about. I met a woman the other day who makes the laundry bags for all of the uniforms to go into. And again, you think, of course, that's exactly what they need. But things that you wouldn't even necessarily think about, the jobs that people are out there doing to support the people who are supporting us. It's just incredible. But what I think has been nice about doing songs like that is, you know, in the normal world, should we call it, you know, music's the first thing that gets knocked out of schools.
Yep.
It's the first thing that people think doesn't need to have any money put into it, any funding. And now that all the concerts have gone and the theatres have shut and, you know, we can't even go to the movies, you just realise actually music's the first thing that everybody goes to. So I don't think it's a coincidence that people are going, I want to learn the piano, I want to learn the guitar. I think it just brings you just a lot of peace, unless it's a violin.
Or drums.
Or a drum kit.
I always said to Carly, please don't grow up and want to learn the drums.
Oh, I love the drums. I love that.
Oh, yeah, but to have a child in a house learning drums.
Ah, silencer. You need a silencer.
Oh, have a child next door to you in a flat or something learning drums.
I think that's us.
But I have to tell you, I think I told you on the phone at night because, you know, I used to go to bed and check things out on my iPad.
Yes.
And then I read somewhere ages ago, before all this happened, that actually it's not a good idea to look at things on iPads or phones at night. You should listen to music or read poems or something. So we got into Classic FM.
I know.
And every night we get into bed and we put Classic FM on and it's so lovely. And I would tell everyone to do it because it, especially in these times when it's so anxious making and, you know, listen, we're some of the lucky ones. I'm here with Lee and, you know, you've got your family. Some people don't have that.
No.
But, you know, the classical music really, really soothes you. And it's a really lovely, and we have it on for a good hour or so. But on your shows, when we're going to go to sleep, we always go, night, Mylene.
All right, I'm going to give you a little good night then at the weekend. That's so nice to know because I think as well, those kinds of pieces, you know, a lot of people feel really intimidated by them. You know, they think, well, I don't know about classical music or some of it's older.
Well, I think people, I mean, I was a little bit like that as I grew up because, again, my dad was into kind of the big bands.
Yeah.
And then I got into pop music like all teenagers. But we never really had classical music in the house. And then when I met Lee, you know, because I was always into music and I loved the music of the 20s and 30s and 40s and the shows I did were those sort of songs. But when I met Lee, he was a big classical music lover. So he actually introduced me to classical.
And do you know, I bet you do know classical music. It's just that it hasn't necessarily been shown to you. Like, I bet you know Celine Dion. When I was young, I never needed anyone. That's Rachmaninoff. That entire piece is Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. So if I said to somebody, do you want to listen to Rachmaninoff? They might most likely go, no, I don't know any of it. But it's all these massive pop songs are all taken from classical.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Mr. Lloyd Webber actually lends a few bits.
There you go.
And listen, they make wonderful songs as well.
They're good enough at least when he's doing the shelves.
Yes, exactly. Oh, no, he does. He has it on full blast.
I can just imagine.
But one of my great memories of you is, do you remember when we would we did... Just for the people listening, we did Mylene and myself and a few other lovely ladies like Erin O'Connor and Laura Bailey and Naomi. Do you remember Naomi?
Yes,
lovely Naomi.
So much fun.
Lenoir. She's so French. And we were in Venice, do you remember? And they flew.
Yes.
You were pregnant.
Very, very heavily pregnant.
Very heavily pregnant. And I remember Steve Sharp, our producer and everything, said, I don't think Mylene can come because she's so pregnant. And then I think they flew you down on a private plane, didn't
they? It was very showbiz. I've got a plane and a midwife.
You got a plane and a midwife?
I did.
But I remember because they had to shoot you from the bosom up, didn't they?
I did. Like, I mean, that was a wide-angle lens because like, I went from a D to like a double G.
I read in your bio, because I'm very good, I read up on people before I talk to them. I knew a lot about you, but I didn't know everything, that you went travelling age 17 around the world on your own. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was brave.
Well, do you know, it's funny because I look back now, I always thought it was completely normal when I was young because I was, you know, I was 17. I was like, yeah, I'm an adult. What's the big deal? But it's only when you get older and you look back at people who are 17 and think, crikey, you're quite young. 17-year-olds seem to be terribly young. But then I do look back now and think all the things that I thought were normal for me when I was very young doing lots of things and I thought everyone was weird thinking that I was young. I thought they just didn't understand. And now I look back and think, no, I was actually really young. So I went interrailing at 15 on my own with two friends around Europe. We were like, I was looking back now thinking, we kind of slept on the beach and we slept like in station doorways and stuff with our sleeping bags at 15.
Did your mum know?
And my mama died. So she would have died if she'd known.
Oh my God, that's right. I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. What about your dad?
Well, my dad did, but I was quite difficult to control. I had a lovely stepmother, but I don't think I was very easy at being told. I don't think I took being told what to do very well. So I think she, you know, when, to be honest, I sort of said, I'm going into training. I do remember my dad saying, I don't think you can do that. I'm not going to give you the money. So I said, don't worry, I've earned it because I work in the little, I used to cycle to the little chef and wash up there. And you could get jobs at 15 in those days. You just ask for a job and get paid. And it used to come in a little brown envelope in cash, which is much better. I love that. So I sort of earned the money and said, well, I'm going anyway. And he was like, oh, well, then you better go with my blessing. And I was like,
amazing.
Good.
Amazing. So, and it must have been, you must have had some amazing times.
Amazing. But I don't know who I was. I look back now, actually, when I went traveling around the world at 17, I think I was trying to prove to someone that I could go and that I would be fine. I'm not quite sure who I was trying to prove that to because no one said I couldn't. So I now look back and think I had a big, Because you travelled a lot when you were young, didn't you? You were very young.
Yeah, well, because of what happened to me. Yeah, I was off from age 16 and a half, really. But I always had people with me and I was working. So it was slightly different. I didn't kind of go off backpacking or anything like that. No, I kind of lost my upper teenage years in a way because of what happened to me.
I suppose that's true because you were suddenly like a 25-year-old, almost, like a total grown-up.
I literally went from school, which I actually loved. I was a grammar school. I loved it. And then because of being discovered and thrown into whatever I was thrown into, you know, I suddenly was going to New York and Milan and Paris. And I mean, it was great. But I missed that growing up period with my mates because I was working and I was in the public eye. And and I often look back and think, I wonder what I'd have been like if I'd have got those learning years, really, aren't they?
Yeah. Although you can never regret. I always think you only where you are because of what's come before. So you'd have to be careful what you, if you changed anything, it would all change. I always say, oh God, don't change anything. Because if, you know, like I often think, God, if, you know, if my mum hadn't died when I was 10, then I probably wouldn't have my kids and I wouldn't be married to my husband. I might be somewhere else and I might have other kids, but I don't want other ones. I want my ones. So.
Thanks for listening to that. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing those interviews. And again, as I said at the beginning, if you want to hear the whole episodes of Mylene Klass and Sarah Beeny, then just scroll down under Tea with Twiggy and you'll find the complete interview. Okay, have a lovely day. Bye.